madness, insanity, or some might call it hysteria. Derived from the Greek word for uterus, the hysterical state was believed by many for too many years to be a woman's disease of the mind caused by her own unfortunate femininity. And while it might be treated, a woman could never be cured of her naturally weaker constitution. So often, imprisonment was seen as the only recourse. Such was the case at the Women's Insane Asylum on Blackwell's Island, now known as Roosevelt Island. To be sent there meant to never escape, to never return to the life one once knew. Except, of course, for the relentless Nellie Bly, whose journey into the madhouse threatened her own sanity. But it was all for the sake of the story. The 11th day was recorded live at the Slipper Room on March 25th, 2018. It was part of our show, The Secret Files of Nellie Bly.
My friend Nellie often talked to me about her collection of secret files that she kept among her papers, papers that contained many stories that her publishers would not or could not print. I would still love to see these papers with my own eyes, but after her death, much was mishandled by her surviving and constantly bickering relatives. Those papers could very well be lost forever. Fortunately, she shared with me a considerable number of these clandestine anecdotes in our own letters and on occasion when we gossiped over dinner and cocktails. Tonight, I shall take certain items of Miss Bly's, news articles written by her that are very much a matter of public record, and shall add some additional insights based on knowledge I received from Nellie Bly herself, where necessary. But perhaps I'm getting ahead of myself. It's easy, I'm afraid, when it comes to Nellie. So much to say and never quite sure where to start. It surely made my job as her editor problematic at best, though it was certainly never dull. She'd come to New York City from Pennsylvania, desperately in search of something more, and she found hardship, unemployment, and poverty. Penniless and jobless in the Big Apple is enough to drive even the most stable of us to madness. Of course, those who have nothing to lose may take the greatest risks. From the moment she set foot in our office at the New York World, there was a certain shift in the air. Maybe it was just the fact that she had the audacity to take on the publisher of the paper, Mr. Joseph Pulitzer himself. Miss Bly? Nellie Bly?
Yes, that's me.
Mr. Pulitzer, we'll see you, miss.
Don't think I'm not grateful, but it has been almost 6 hours now.
Only six? He must be very interested in you.
Brisbane! Stop dawdling and have her come in already. You've wasted 1 minute and 45 seconds of my time. Tick tock, tick tock.
Here she is, sir. Miss Nellie Bly, investigative reporter, most recently of the Pittsburgh Post.
I don't need her biography, Brisbane. And if I did, I certainly wouldn't be hiring you to write it. Man could hardly write his way out of form school. And, as it is said, if you cannot write, edit.
If I haven't mentioned it already, Mr. Pulitzer was known very well by this time for his particular sense of charm.
I thank you, Mr. Pulitzer, and I appreciate the audience. Though, to be frank with you, I'd take a sit down with a chimney sweep right now, provided we were on the job in a nice warm hearth.
Ah. And if only a sweep could reassemble the ashes of every burned document, every love note, every forged will to ever meet a flaming end in those very fireplaces the sweeps tend, what use would we newsmen be then, Miss Bly? What use indeed? Ah, Brisbane, the door! Shut the door! I can hardly hear the sound of my own voice, let alone my thoughts!
Of course, sir, of course. My apologies.
Ah, blissful quiet. Finally a man can think.
Shall I leave, or would you prefer that I remain for the interview?
We both know it makes no difference either way, Brisbane. Best you just remain so I needn't suffer the outside noises again. So, Miss Bly, you've managed to find your way in here somehow. Please, tell me what it is that makes me give up my time for you today.
What else, sir? For what else could you think? A story.
Stories I have, by the dozens, by the hundreds.
But not the stories of your choosing, I'd wager. Not the ones that you'd really want, but that no one would dare to get. I can get those for you, sir. I can go places and uncover truths that would paralyze even the most imaginative mind.
Ach, Wishbin. She speaks like a safari adventuress. Where did such a girl come from?
Well, most recently, Pennsylvania.
Please, sir, an assignment, any assignment. Search the depths of your mind, whatever it is. I won't turn it down, nor will I let you down.
This is most interesting. I have had groveling at my feet before, true, but always men, and always lacking this fire you have in your eyes. Brishbane, I'm giving you the rare chance to voice your opinion. What do you think?
Well, there are certainly any number of stories on the docket that we could let her try her hand at. The zoo scandal, for instance, or a society piece.
No. Something more. What do I pay you for?
Well, there's always Blackwell's Island.
Ha! Oh, you talk to me of the asylum? There are stories by the week, by the day on Blackwell's Island.
True enough, but all these tales are hearsay and told by men. What if you were to get an inside scoop from a female inmate on the inside? Someone who's witnessed the horrors firsthand.
You know someone? Someone in there?
No, but she can be that someone herself.
I beg your pardon?
Let us send Miss Bly into the madhouse, if she thinks she can get in there. Bring us back an expose. Then we can see what else we might have for her.
Brishbane, you are the madman. This is outrageous, even for us. This is...
Mr. Pulitzer, with your blessing, I will go undercover in the madhouse and deliver the story the public craves. It will be everything. Sensational, terrifying, shocking. And best of all, it will be true.
She's mad. She belongs in the asylum, no doubt.
Perhaps I am. Perhaps you'll find I'm just mad enough to work here. Just mad enough to deal with the blighted Mr. Brisbane every day.
Oh, no, see here, miss, wait.
Enough with the yelling. You'll do my head in. And I need it, a clear mind to think. You propose to go ahead with this? To go in yourself, Miss Bly? To have yourself committed?
That's correct, sir. I'm committed to the idea, you might say.
And how exactly will you go about this?
Well, I've seen inmates, sir, and I've watched their ways. I've read all the stories, seen women being carted away. I know their looks, their behaviors. I'm sure that if I take on a false identity and behave in just such a way, I'll be taken right off to Blackwell Asylum in the bat of an eye.
You do have such a look about you. The eyes. I would believe you hadn't eaten for days.
Oh, your eyes do not deceive, sir. Life has already prepared me for the role.
Joseph, I didn't think she'd take it seriously. You can't actually be considering...
I allowed you to stay under the assumption that you would be silent. Foolish me to ever assume. I know better, certainly. Miss Bly, this undertaking, the level of danger involved is great.
Better to risk it all for the glory of the story than to starve slowly and meekly in the street, sir.
And how long do you propose to stay?
A week, sir.
Not enough time. 2 weeks.
10 days. Much more than that, and I may not come out sane enough to tell the tale.
And you would trust us to retrieve you at the end of the time?
It would be your loss if you didn't, sir.
Brishbane.
Yes, Mr. Pulitzer?
Take Miss Bly here for a proper meal, then arrange for whatever she needs to begin this undertaking at once.
But sir...
I hate useless noise, Brishbane, and your whining objections most certainly fall into that category. Now, out, both of you. I needn't see either of you again until Miss Bly's 10 days in the asylum have elapsed, or, should she fail to complete her clandestine mission, neither of you need bother to show your face in my office again.
What have you done? How could you accept this madness? What have you gotten me into?
The ride of your life, Mr. Brisbane. Just you wait and see. Now, what's for lunch?
That was the 22nd day of September. Yes, of course, I remember it well. 10 days in a madhouse. Who doesn't remember it? I never for the life of me thought that anyone would accept such a challenge, but Miss Bly, of course, was not just anyone. As you know, I bet you read every single publication, didn't you? Probably read them out loud to each other, sitting around the dinner table or the fire. Somewhere comfortable and warm with your family probably gave you chills filled with outrage. And then you probably kept coming back for more. Strange, this craving we have for that which unsettles us. Perhaps it reinforces our own sense of security, reminds us that things aren't so bad after all. You were probably disappointed when there wasn't any more. You needed more from the story. Well, it's your lucky day, isn't it?
I'm going to give you the story, Brisbane. The whole story. And I want it all recorded. Do you understand? Even if it never hits the streets, I need to know that this actually happened.
Miss Bly told me everything. What the rest never got to hear. Yes, of course, there's more to her tale. You didn't think that was it, did you? Take it from a professional. There's always more to the story. Information they won't let you share. Information your own conscience won't let you share or even think about too often. As much as Nellie wanted to speak out fully, truthfully, we knew there were things the world wasn't ready to hear from us at the world.
I don't care if you believe me or not. The things I saw changed me, changed the way I look at the world. I knew of the horrors of humanity, I suppose. But I always thought I was in control of my own destiny. But now, I'm not so sure.
In truth, I think those untold details, the reality of the story's core, that drove the tale of Nellie's time at Blackwell from the merely fantastical into the frankly unbelievable, those hidden details she did share with me that I so wish I could forget. Of it all, it's those that I remember most clearly and most often.
Getting thrown in a madhouse isn't as hard as you might think, Brisbane. Though I wouldn't exactly call it easy either. When we parted ways, and by the way, thank you again for that delicious coca van, I set about my mission. I assumed the identity of Nellie Brown, the initials of which agreed with my own name and my linen, so that there would be no difficulty in keeping track of my movements and assisting me out of any difficulties I might get into. There were two routes to commitment at the asylum, I might assume. Through a house of one of my friends, or through the police courts. Unfortunately, to get me to Blackwell's Island, my friends would have to feign poverty. And unfortunately, for the end I had in view, my acquaintance with the struggling poor, except for my own self, was only very superficial. So I secured lodging in a boarding house, the temporary home for females, number 84 Second Avenue. Upon entering, I assumed what I hoped to seem a dreaming or faraway appearance. I was taken in by the concerned matron, and I engaged in light banter with several of the other ladies, whose straits seemed as dire in reality as those I attempted to portray. After a long, sleepless night, I joined the others downstairs for breakfast. However, instead of partaking in the meal, I sat myself unmovable on the stairway and fixed my attention on the cockroaches.
My dear girl, are you quite all right? You certainly may join us over at the table.
No, no, I want to be here, here with my friends.
Your friends? Surely you don't mean these insects. Where are your friends? Your real friends?
I have no friends! None at all! Oh, and my belongings. Where are they? Oh, but my friends here. Where are they?
Oh, dear.
As I had come in with next to nothing and I seemed so inconsolable, the poor woman soon thought me quite mad.
Insane? The girl is insane. Heavens help us. We must call the police at once.
Soon enough, the policeman arrived to cart me away to the station house.
I want you to take her away quietly.
If you don't come along quietly, I will have to drag her through the streets.
Their questions were seemingly endless, yet all the while I kept up the same blank, desperate facade. The police, being assured of my mental unrest, passed me along to a doctor, a supposed specialist in insanity.
Put your tongue out. Put your tongue out when I tell you.
I don't want to.
You must. You are sick, and I am a doctor.
I am not sick. I never was. I only want my things, my trunks, my belongings.
What drugs have you been taking?
Drugs? I do not know what drugs are.
She makes no sense. No sense at all. You were right to call me, gentlemen. This girl's insane. Positively demented. I consider her a hopeless case. She needs to be put away where someone will take care of her.
Where, of course, but the asylum.
Sounds like Miss Nelly might have bitten off more than she can chew. Will she escape the madhouse with her considerable wits intact? We'll find out in just a moment. But first, the moon is quite full, and I think things are about to get hairy. This episode is brought to you by 4hymns.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men.
Oh, Larry, this isn't the way!
No, it's the only way! You haven't looked at me the same since...
Since you started to lose
Don't say it!
It's not true! I love you, Larry!
Oh, my beautiful mane! It's fading! And now I must do what I must do!
Don't eat that wolfbane formula, Larry! It might not be...
Too late.
But aren't there harmful side effects, like homicidal mania? Larry, there's a more practical way to treat male pattern baldness than to turn yourself into a... You're ridiculous.
What? What do you mean?
You just transformed yourself into a giant hairy wolf.
Yes, look at all this. I'm covered with hair.
Yeah, except for your bald spot.
What? Oh, no.
Hey, fellas. When it comes to hair loss, why do guys turn to weird solutions when they can turn to medicine and science? Are you suffering from male pattern baldness? You don't have to resort to lycanthropy to get those follicles working for you. ForHims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men.
Could you get used to me this way, honey? Haven't I always been your sexy beast?
Thanks to science, hair loss can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. Save hours by going to ForHims.com. Answer a few quick questions, and a doctor will review and prescribe the best solutions for you. It's all confidential, and products are shipped directly to your door. Get this, Fireside Mystery Theater listeners. You can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. All you have to do is go to ForHims.com/Fireside. That's ForHims.com/Fireside. ForHims.com/Fireside.
I wonder if this will wear off.
Stop hugging all the blankets, Larry.
I'm cold!
Oh, but you're the one with the fur coat now. Oh, God, please tell me you're going to clip those toenails. Oh, gross.
Poor Larry. Hopefully he's learned his lesson. There's no substitute for good science. And remember, 4hims.com offers more than just hair loss solutions. Did you know that over 25% of new ED cases are guys under 40? It doesn't just happen to older fellows. Let's face it, it affects many of our relationships. But as it's all part of being human, we should be able to talk about it, right? Fortunately, it's not just something we can talk about. It's something we can actually do something about. Hims eliminates any needless shame or awkwardness and connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED, as well as hair loss and skincare issues. It's totally confidential. Those uncomfortable doctor visits are now a thing of the past. Go to forhims.com/mystery to try Hims for a full month, for just $5. Now, back to the 11th day.
It was not a long ferry ride, but the anticipation, the nerves, and the fear gave it the weight of eons. I was surrounded by policemen and several other women who were being transported, all looking as tattered and shaken as I. Only one woman seemed to stand strong. She looked ahead at the looming asylum with what seemed like a sense of pity. When she met my eye, she actually smiled. I wanted to approach her, but was interrupted by one of our guards.
Welcome to your new home, Miss Brown.
Ooh, what is this place?
Blackwell's Island, an insane place where you'll never get out of.
Now that I was finally, truly entering the asylum, reality set in. I no longer feigned insanity, but it seemed not to matter. Every doctor, nurse, and orderly I encountered regarded me as utterly mad, even when I spoke just as I do in my normal life.
Shut your mouth, I'm talking! Did you not just hear me?
You're gonna shut your mouth, bro.
The orderlies were a terrifying lot. Inmates, it turns out, serving prison time for a variety of harrowing crimes. Tending to us was part of their sentence. Imagine! We who had committed no crime except that against nature, of madness, subjected to daily torment by hardened criminals. We were subjected to nearly daily beatings, cruel and unprompted. Many of the women in Blackwell seemed to have developed a nervous twitch as a result. The doctors and nurses weren't any better. They spoke to us with scorn. There was no human concern for any of us. Meals, when they came, were sparse, rotting, and often completely inedible. By my third day, my luncheon with you, Brisbane, seemed a far distant dream. Conditions, unsurprisingly, were absolutely filthy. There were at least two rats for every resident of the place. We inmates were bathed, if you could call it that, by having buckets of ice-cold water dumped upon us. We were left soaking in the drafty halls, and a constant state of illness seemed to engulf the poor women even more deeply in their miserable states. Amazingly, many of the women who were no more mad than you or I encountered many who were of foreign birth, and trapped on Blackwell's only due to a lack of familiar language. Though, with time, many of them surely became mad enough to be proper residents. The torments were repetitive and never-ending. If it weren't so painful, it would have been positively dull. However, a scene from my eighth day stands out in my mind. Why it stands out, I couldn't tell you. I was so exhausted that all seemed a blur. Perhaps it was just the break from the monotony. And yet...
No more, please. I can't go on.
Hey, you there. Get back to your place on the wall. It's not time for dinner or for bed. So you stay put, you hear? Not moving.
I saw the poor girl he was addressing. She could not have been more than 17. The terror in her eyes aged her unbelievably.
Sir, please, just for a moment, let me sit. For just a moment.
Hey, get up! I see you faking there, pretending to faint. Get up, lazy, get up! Get up, I said, or I'll make you get up!
I looked on in horror as the guard prepared to beat the poor girl with a large mallet of some kind. I was frozen in place with no idea what to do. Suddenly...
Get him off! Get him off! Get him off! Help! Help! Help!
The colony of rats seemed to disappear as quickly as they came. The other women stood around in silence, gazing down at the poor unconscious girl. I stooped to help her up, and as my eyes wandered over the others, a familiar face came briefly into view. The woman from the ferry, looking directly at me. I tried to call out to her, but I stumbled under the girl's weight, and when I looked back again, the mysterious woman was gone. If the days were treacherous,
The nights were far, far worse. All of the aches and pains from the day settled into your bones, and the cold, relentless draft offered no reprieve. And of course, there were the noises.
What are you doing? Stop it! Stop making all this noise.
If you never knew exactly what was happening, the pictures drawn up in your mind painted a clear enough picture of misery. Following my 10th and final day, a day full of rank food, blistered hands and feet, chattering teeth, and barely a drop of muddy water to drink, I lay on that wooden, itchy plank that served as a bed and reflected upon my time. Suddenly, I was startled from my painful reverie by a sound in the bunk next to me.
Time's almost up for you, isn't it?
I beg your pardon?
I knew from the moment I saw you that you wouldn't be with us for long. No, but long enough to really see it all.
I'm sorry, but I don't believe we've met. Or maybe we have. I can barely see you.
It doesn't matter. What matters is that you were there. And now you're here. And tomorrow you will be there again. Only now, knowing all you now know, there's none else would or could get that chance. Just you, Miss Bly.
It's Brown. Miss Brown. You must have me confused.
No need for the lies, Miss Bly. We get enough of those every day. Lies in the form of food and water that cannot sustain us. Lies in the form of care that destroys us.
How do you know my name? And that I'm leaving. How could you... Did Mr. Pulitzer send you too?
I was sent here. And not by choice. And not by your Mr. Pulitzer. Longer than the rest, I've managed to hold out here. Of the tale you will tell, I could unravel 20, I think. But no need. You were the only one we needed.
It's for my job. The job I want. The job I need. But I had no idea, not even in my wildest imagination, what I would find here. If I can help, if I can tell this story and get you all the help you need, damn the job and damn Pulitzer. This is what matters. I'll come back and starve myself amongst you, if need be.
I see you would. There is fire in you. Your spirit burns inside you as mine once did. But there is no need for a greater sacrifice than you have made, Miss Bly. Your words and your story, giving voice to the voiceless, remembering us and remembering me.
But who are you? I can barely see you.
You see well enough. You know.
And indeed, somehow, I did know. Through the black, I could see barely anything but an outline of her body and those eyes, full of pity as they were that day I saw them on the boat and again in the hall. But never had I seen her at any other time during my stay. I would have known. I had sought her, and only when I least expected it did she appear.
I was right to bring you, the champion of our cause. Do not let us down, Nellie Bly. Greatness awaits you, but you cannot go on. No, you cannot go on if you leave us here in darkness. If you forget...
I,
I was sent here by the editor, by Mr. Pulitzer. How could you...
I brought you here, Nellie Bly. I did. I've been here so very long, practicing, sending out spells, talking to the cockroaches and the rats. Every vermin who walks free in this city is the soul of a patient, an inmate wrongfully imprisoned and ruined, you see. We brought you here. Perhaps through this editor, but you're here now, and you are one of us, even when you go. And when you see the rats and the cockroaches in the streets scurrying, they'll speak to you, and you'll remember, and you'll know. Perhaps it will even be me that you see, finally free.
Though I had felt fear galore during my stay, nothing compared to the deep horror that penetrated my very soul. I pulled my useless excuse for a blanket over my eyes and waited for this horrific vision to pass. Sure enough, when I dared to look again, not even an outline remained on the bunk. And those eyes, if they had been there, were closed for good. Come the next morning, it was time to go. And you know the rest from there.
Indeed.
You were there.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Though I hardly recognized you. As malnourished and pathetic as you were on that first day we met, I was unprepared for the ghoul who would take the ferry back to Manhattan with me that day.
The insane asylum on Blackwell's Island is a human rat trap. It is easy to get in, but once there, it is impossible to get out. Luckily, I had my own trick to spring the trap, but had I not, or had Pulitzer and you decided it wasn't worth it to dig me out after all, I have no doubt I'd have spent my life there and eventually gone as properly mad as a hatter.
Undoubtedly. And the story will be a smash success. I've been poring over your pages nonstop. Remarkable. But, Nellie, about the patient?
What about her?
It's too much, Miss Bly. All these other details, the gruesome reality of the situation, it's enough. It's already making a huge stir, and talks of reform are in the pipeline as we speak. Not only was it a great story, but a great service you did, Nellie.
But what of the patient?
Surely you must see that it was all in your mind, this woman. You were starving, exhausted, and you do have quite the imagination.
I saw what I saw, sir, whether you see fit to print it or not.
And to disrupt what we have going on now, just when policies are being changed for the better? For what, Miss Bly? A ghost story? You must understand our situation. Sensationalism is one thing, but this is plain absurd.
And yet you saw them, didn't you? When we got off the ferry?
What are you talking...
I saw your face, Brisbane, and I know you saw them. The rats, staring, unmoving behind those barrels, like they were looking straight at us.
Dock rats, hideous creatures. Surely I saw them, and they gave me quite a fright, I will admit. But they have nothing to do with your time at Blackwell's. Or perhaps you'd like to keep talking about psychic rodents and end up right back in the madhouse?
You needn't print that part, of course. I understand. Just so long as you know, and I believe that you do, that my trip to Blackwell's Island was no mistake. And it was no more your idea than it was mine. We have no control in this rat trap of a life, Brisbane. Eventually, it shall snap down on us all.
And so went my introduction to Miss Bly, and her arrival on the world stage with the story of her 10 days in the madhouse. And I suppose it was my farewell to any doubts about my fear of the unknown. Who was I to send a young girl into certain peril, perhaps to her doom? And was it I who sent her? Regardless, the story did indeed do some good. It brought about a grand jury investigation in the matter of the patient's treatment, as well as an increase to the budget of the Department of Public Charities and Corrections. Mr. Pulitzer could not have been more pleased. Of course, as you know, he was happy to keep her around for more adventures. But he agreed with me that nothing was to be said of the mysterious woman that Nellie spoke to in the asylum, and whose eyes haunted her from that 11th day onward. Indeed, perhaps even Miss Bly came to believe that, eventually, some stories, though true, can do more harm than good.
That's the way the story goes. Frankie bought everything for Johnny, from his sports car to his Ivy League clothes. Oh, he was a man, all right, but he was doing her wrong. Just to show you what can happen, a friend came a running to Frankie. She said, you know, doing you wrong. Let me tell you a story. Frankie ran around the corner. He peeked into a swinging place, and then she saw Johnny with a woman. He had his arms around her waist. He was a man, all right, but Frankie could see he was doing her wrong. And let me tell you, Frankie reached her down into her pocketbook, and up with a long 44. She shot once, twice, three times. Johnny fell on the hardwood floor. He was a man, all right, but she shot him 'cause he was doing her wrong. The last thing he said was, Frankie, you know I love you. Why, honey, why did you do that to me? Oh, Frankie, I was telling her about you. Oh, Frankie, you know I really love you. Oh, Frankie, don't you know, don't you know that I love you? Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, now, Frankie, you know good and well that I love you. Frankie, I'll always love you, baby. Frankie, you know I can't do without you. Frankie, you know.
Concludes the 11th day. What a mysterious thing madness is. I have watched patients whose lips are forever sealed in perpetual silence. They live, breathe, eat. The human form is there. But that something which the body can live without, but which cannot exist without the body, was missing. Words from Miss Bly herself on the pitiful human condition at Blackwell's. And what immense bravery on her part to face it head on. Or indeed, was that itself lunacy? Madness? Well, who are we to say? We who live with our own insanities every day, whether we realize it or not. Today's cast of colorful inmates included Arthur Brisbane, played by David Linton, Joseph Pulitzer, played by Alan LaForest, the patient, played by Casey LaForest, the doctor and the guard, played by Eric Davey Gislason, the matron and the girl, played by Mary Murphy, and Nellie Bly, played by me, Ali Silva. The song Frankie and Johnny was a traditional arrangement performed by Martina Da Silva, accompanied by Nico Slater. The 11th Day was written by Courtney Gillian Cholovich. It was directed by Holly Payne Strange. The Secret Files of Nellie Bly was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Jason Graves composed our theme music. Our musical score is improvised by Steve Blanco. Our sound effects designer and engineer is Greg Russ. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. And our production coordinator is Bronte Shane Orengo. You know how great it feels to make someone smile. Well, now you can spread the love across the world from the comfort of your own phone. We hope you'll take a quick moment to give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Your feedback does a lot to keep the lifeblood flowing in our little production company. And while you're at it, if you haven't yet, subscribe. You can also see what we really look like when you find us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram or Twitter with our handle at Fireside Mystery. You may not be able to see us through your earbuds, but trust me, we look fabulous, and you could look Fireside fabulous too. We have lots of Fireside Mystery Theater swag that would make great gifts you can score for yourself or for the FMT fan in your life. T-shirts, hoodies, pillows, totes, mugs, notebooks, stickers, all sorts of cool kit with our logo. Lots of sales are always popping up too. Just go to firesidemysterytheater.com/merch and browse around. Our next live show takes us on a trip back to that freaky town we like to visit, Sunken Harbor, the Strawberry Festival. Join us at the Slipper Room on Sunday, April 29th at our new time, 5 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. Reeling from Miss Bly's undercover achievements? Hold on to your fedora. Be on the lookout for the release of February 4th, 1894, Nellie Bly and the Ghost. Our next podcast installment of The Secret Files of Nellie Bly will be sure to haunt you. We may have escaped the madhouse, but the insanity isn't over, listeners. Stay tuned. This is your own Ali Silva releasing you to your own imagination. And until our next encounter, do remember to mind the shadows.